call this meeting to order for Ramsey City Council work session, April 14, 2026. Case one, we'll go through strategic planning.
Mr. Hagan?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Attached to the case is a redline version. As we discussed a couple months ago, you know, for the most part, a lot of the items are ongoing items that are really important, and then a lot of the other items are bigger ticket items that we're just kind of partially the way through on them, or we've advanced enough where we can kind of add on to them for what we think might happen in the next year or so. So at the staff level, we did go through this. We did not, I think our mission, vision, values, and goals have all, they've remained consistent the last 4 years or so, so no real plan to adjust those. I think that's maybe if you're thinking about a culture shift or a massive new vision to a growing community, that's where, maybe that comes into play. If you guys feel otherwise, we can definitely take some time and go into that. Otherwise, from a staff perspective, we don't propose any adjustments to those. We're really planning to leave the strategies the same. Again, those are kind of higher level, kind of categorical items that we want to accomplish. And then within each strategy, we have different objectives that we can get to. For reflection activities, I think you can seek your feedback on any additions and changes from this point moving forward. But when we reviewed this, we really feel like the items that are crossed out or proposed to be removed are just, they're completed items. It's not necessarily that it's not going well anymore. They're just done. For example, the Ramsey Gateway project and business outreach, the construction project itself is finished. There's some minor landscaping and punchless items that need to be worked on, but those are all done. We did recognize a couple new items, though, that we feel like are working well. Ralph property sales, that's kind of the transition into the new Ramsey Gateway project, where now we're able to turn around and start selling land, and that's already occurring. We did note the just kind of continued assessment and adjustment of operational needs. We talked about, the biggest example recently is the receptionist position, where there's kind of, we looked at what the tasks they were doing and ultimately eliminated that position following a retirement. And then we added in the historic town hall project, that one largely because it's been talked about for many years, and we actually have seen some progress on it, or some movement on it the last year. So with that, I'll pause. Any questions, comments, additions, changes?
Any things we want to add, subtract?
Or just the what's working well and what's not working well right
now?
Yeah,
just on the what's working well.
Oh.
Yes.
Stuart?
I have a question about that program that Colleen had us purchase. How is that program? Where would that fall into this?
The program is, I don't know if it's on the working well list. We're implementing it still. It's a multi-phase. I recognize that a little bit in the successes later on, as well as kind of there's a couple more phases to go before it's fully implemented. But
okay.
So we'll see that again later, but not here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think that sounds good, though.
Kind of chain, just kidding. I see fire service model. I was going to say like the transition and the leadership team for the fire department's also going well for what's happening so far, but it's probably covered under fire service model.
Not working well. Again, the items that have been crossed off, we feel like we've just addressed it. Embracing the process change. We've talked about that the last couple of years. That's really calmed down. We've shifted around work quite a bit, kind of from one department to others where it made sense. Another example would be public opinion of road conditions. It's not on wood. It's been pretty quiet. Our roads aren't perfect, but
we are not getting nearly the number of complaints that we did 3 years ago. Gravel roads we eliminated just because we have the plan to eliminate the gravel roads. And then we did add in, there's a concern from staff, the long-term road funding balance versus project needs. You know, when we look at the capital improvement plan and the 10-year financial projection, it's positive. However, there are projects that likely should be on the list that aren't. So really our 10-year plan is based on the funding availability, not necessarily the project need standpoint. So I think there's not necessarily a concern for the next year or two, but when you start to look out a little bit further, that's where we're saying, okay, we could fall short based on true project needs. Feedback on that section.
Well, I guess just a quick question. We still have like 2 years of bond funds, don't we? So we're for sure good through like 2 years.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's, and your point is still well taken.
Yeah, it's more, you know, when we go from the $5 to $7 million a year down to the 2 to 3, then the projects are falling off. So. Anything else? Okay. What are we not doing that we should be doing? Largely no major changes. We did strike the expanding employee wellness efforts. I think we did make some headway on that over the last year, whether it be just additional internal staff communication from our benefit provider, or we did do the conference room switchover to allow some exercising while on break time. We did add in here a recycling and compost facility. That's been a project that's kind of gained some traction here and there through the years. So kind of the idea is, do we put that on there to think about it a little bit more? We do get recycling funding from the county based on how much tonnage we recycle and things of that nature, so that could be a funding source from it, but that's on that. Stuart?
Yep, we're using new technology, but we're saying that we should be doing it, but we're not doing it. Is this technology that we've purchased and we're not implementing?
I think it's just still making sure we research and implement what makes sense. We do use a lot of technology, obviously, but there's always new and improved GIS tools up above that. That's a great example. We have GIS already, but we're barely scratching the surface on what we really could be utilizing it.
What's the follow-up if we're sort of scratching the surface on these tools that we're already paying for? What is staff's, like, what is the goals? What are we seeing to, like, make that not on this list anymore?
Big discussion during budget time and weighing the benefits of the costs. So GIS, for example, that's hosted through LOGIS, which is a consortium of a bunch of cities. They host our GIS system. Bruce, please jump in if I misspeak at all. They host our system. We have staff at City Hall that can edit the program, but we don't really have anyone that can really fully build it. So we rely on LOGIS to build new layers, I guess, to the program.
Which we only have them twice a month, 4 hours each, so 8 hours a month we have.
Very, very limited time that LOGIS is, that we're purchasing from LOGIS to put towards this. So, yeah, it's kind of one of those where it's part of the budgeting process that we want to explore. What does it look like? Number one, what are we paying LOGIS to do this? What, if we took it on in-house, what would that cost? Is there a cost? And what would that cost from a staffing standpoint? And you kind of do the math problem on where does that land? And then, again, look at if we had the ability to put more effort into this, what could we add to it? Is that enough of a benefit to implement?
Gotcha.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Mayor. So I'm not opposed to a recycling and compost facility, and maybe I missed it, but I feel like it's something we should discuss as a council before we make it part of a strategic plan. I mean, I don't know anything about it, like cost or what it would be, or, I mean...
Well, there's multiple steps to this, right? Like, is it of interest enough to put it in this to...
I don't even know what it is. Like, is it going to be, like, in the core, fill up the rest of the core with piles of garbage? Well, obviously not, but I don't even know what that means, do you know what I mean? Like, how can I conceptualize what that means if I don't... We have no information on it, so I don't think it's ready for a strategic plan. I mean, I'm not against it, but just I don't know what it is, right? I mean, what does that mean? Why would we not use Anoka's? Like, what are the benefits? What are the cons? What are, you know?
This would be more of like a local composting site, recycling drop-off. We do the...
For, like, the residents or for, like, yeah. Actual processing?
No, just residents. It'd be like a satellite drop-off site. A good way to explain it.
So, like, different than the one at Ace, then, that they have? Like,
Mr. Acting Mayor,
oh,
I jump in?
Sure.
Yeah,
please. You were awesome. Behind.
So, yeah. At least in my mind, I take a ton of calls. I'm sure Public Works does as well, especially in the fall. Where can I bring all my leaves or what have you?
Sure.
For those that don't want the yard waste service all throughout the summer, they only want it for the leaf collection. It's really, honestly, inconvenient, especially for the folks on the western side of Ramsey, driving over to the closer of the two county compost sites, which is Bunker Hills compost site. It's almost a half an hour one way and then back. So if you don't have a big truck and trailer, you know, think about all the trips and whatnot. So I think that's a huge benefit for Ramsey. If anybody's ever been over to Oak River's compost site that they have there, at least in my mind, something similar to that specifically for residents where they can come in, whether they have to purchase a permit or get a key card, whatever it may be, come in, drop off their yard waste, and then go, and then we would likely bring in a tub grinder of some sort if we were talking about tree debris and whatnot, but we would send it off for processing elsewhere. In my mind, at least, and I don't want to step on toes here, but it wouldn't actually be the site where it's actually processed.
Okay, so this is good to know. Okay. But that's fine. I feel it's premature to have this on a strategic plan. I don't know, it's our first discussion about it, but I think it's a good idea, so it's fine.
I think from a staff perspective, if it's on the list and you guys are supportive enough to learn more about it, it can stay on the list. Versus all of a sudden staff's throwing it on a work session, you guys going, where is this coming from? So I think this is a way to give staff that support to start putting together more information, get it in front of you guys when time allows.
Well, a strategy maybe in a little while is going to be to learn more about it or study it, is what we would do, and that's where we would start deciding or, you know, getting the information more, decide is this something we want to continue.
That's fine.
All right.
We moving on. We felt like what are we doing that we should not be doing was number one, a low bullet point list, and we felt like a retitling could maybe be beneficial to say more like areas for improvement. You know, maybe it's something we're doing, but we could be doing a little bit better. There's some growth in there. So the two items under that are really from our recent employee survey, which is team building and promoting more employee wellness. Not necessarily a lot of extra efforts on the employee wellness. It's more rekindling some of the past programming that have fell to the wayside with some software implementation, staffing changeovers, things of that nature. So we're kind of doing it already, but we think we could do it a little bit better. Any thoughts on areas of improvement? Something that we could be doing a little bit better. Moving on then to opportunities in the next 1 to 5 years. A lot of these, again, are still relevant. We did change, you know, the TIF 14, the deal timeline expires November 2026. Realistically, to get a project designed, put together, out to bid, and money spent, we're past that window. So we struck that from the list. As you can see, we adjusted it, not, you know, historic town hall. We're on to the restoration phase. We got the grant over the last year to do the design work. We're going to be applying for the grant to get the dollars to do the actual construction, so we view that that's moving into the restoration phase. And then with the news of Elk River getting some funding to continue their study efforts on Highway 10, we think that's an opportunity that's coming up. Changes, additions?
We both have opportunities. I think Mayor?
Yeah, this might be going back a little bit to areas of improvement, but maybe tied in. How would we say our, like, grant writing is going? Are we? You mentioned Elk River getting money. I know we've got money for the overpass and things of that nature, but is that an area we can improve on, where we can look at more ways to secure money from the state?
I think we're actually doing a pretty good job on that. You know, just in the last, since I've been here, and I know before, we've got a whole bunch of money for the Highway 10 project, but we've gotten money for the water treatment plant, the historic town hall. Parks have gotten a number of grants, whether it be the fish stocking or the fishing pier. We have, let's see, what am I missing? I know there's a couple more. We did send some public works staff and engineering staff to some grant writing just classes.
Boulevard tree replacement grant.
So I think we're finding grants, and we're successful in them to projects that are, you know, already in the making, not necessarily projects that weren't in our plans, and all of a sudden now we've got a local match going to them. I think we're doing a pretty good job of finding money for our existing projects and whatnot.
No, that sounds good. I just wasn't sure if we felt like we were just getting started, or if we have a good handle and it's taking up the appropriate amount of workloads. It sounds like we've got a handle on that and we're doing well. Just wanted to make sure that that was an area that we feel comfortable staying at. So that's it.
Ms. Boucher?
I appreciate you bringing that up, because it's something that I've been thinking about a lot, and I do think that sooner rather than later I'd like to see us have a grant writer, or maybe part-time someone, because I do think it takes up a lot of bandwidth from our staff members to have to apply for grants in their spaces, although they'd have expertise in that area. I think there's more grants that we could be going after, especially when we're talking about equipment and things like that. So I would like to try and see us beef that area up a little bit more.
Do we want to put under areas of improvement?
If you guys think you have the capacity.
I guess I heard you say you thought we were doing well.
I think we are. I don't know how many we're missing out on, how many opportunities, but I think for the staff that we have, we're quite successful with the grants we're applying for.
Would it help if I announced that Friday morning I learned that we got community development block grant funding for paddle boats for the waterfront?
Nice.
Wow.
Well,
good job, man.
Yeah.
Good job.
$126,000.
So. Awesome.
They're going to be loons?
I hope so.
Laser loons?
That's awesome.
So. Okay.
So I'd say no. If you think you're
for
good,
now.
Then I don't think it needs to.
Mayor, I missed what sign you flashed. Was that a thumbs up? Or did thumbs up? Okay. Got it.
I don't think we need to add it.
No. You said yes.
Yeah, I'll stay with yes.
I think we've got three no's.
Three no's. Okay. Impacts in the next 1 to 5 years. We did add in, or we shifted around a little bit. We moved management staff retirements up next to staffing needs, kind of all-encompassing, but you know, the staffing needs is more focusing on a growing community where there's also looming retirements. We did strike tariff uncertainty. I think the pricing has maybe not gone down back to where it was, but it at least has leveled out slightly, slight drop in some cases. The daycare center tax exemption status, you know, that's been in place for a couple of years, so I feel like we've recognized that impact and you know, it's adjusted accordingly. Water treatment plant is live, so we've made it through the water quality concerns. And then the city facility space needs, put it on this list. It was a strategy or an objective in the last strategies, but again, growing. There's some departments that are getting close to the max capacity. So thoughts on that section?
Reaching 30,000 population, is there something that changes at that point? Or, I mean, is that going to be different than 28,000?
I recall that's kind of a magic number when it comes to retail and things of that nature. I feel like Sean shared that.
Yeah,
last
Sean
year.
Shared that.
Okay.
I don't know that we're going to see all of a sudden 50 applications come in, but...
All right.
Post office.
It's coming. And it is.
All right.
Well, the mayor has something.
Chairman? Maybe I don't see it, but do we have a possible Mississippi River crossing in here?
Yes.
That was mentioned up here.
Under opportunities.
It's under opportunities. Okay. I mean, if it did come in, there'd be a lot of impact there, but I guess it hasn't. It's not certain yet.
It's also under what's not working well.
What's that?
It's also under what's not working well.
Right. I was just thinking from the lens of an impact. I know that 30,000 population is kind of a marker, and that I believe Sean said if we had a bridge, the circle around our city would encompass a lot more people, so it'd make us more desirable as well, so it would have a large impact. But it is kind of out of our control right now, so. But I think we would fall along the same lines of the 30,000 population as it unlocked the other side of the river to go towards our numbers for retail. So maybe not the right place, just something that would impact us if it did.
Going into the strategies and action steps, like I mentioned, a lot of these are ongoing, so we kind of just, in some cases, changed target dates. Under Strategy 1, Objective 1, the Singular Asset Management Program, that was just really a staffing time availability, so kind of set that out to the end of 2027 as we're working through, knock on wood, hiring an engineer. That'll free up some time for Bruce and the public works team to dedicate more time to this. But, and as we've thought about it, we realize it's a little bit bigger animal than just saying a singular asset management program. You've got police and fire who are using kind of their own version already, so there's exploring on can that be expanded or do we need something that's separate from the emergency response side of it. The well siting study that's underway. So again, just a slight adjustment to the due date. Same thing with the future facility needs. Looking at doing it this year yet, but work sessions have been filled up with other items. Strategy 2, no changes to any of those. You know, kind of back to Objective 2, for example, the grant funding opportunities. I think it's just recognizing that we want to make sure we're looking for them, get staff off to training classes when it makes sense, things like that. So under Strategy 3, we did slightly adjust the Objective 1 with the Commercial Property Utility Connection Program. This kind of goes back to the GIS discussion that we had. You know, when we went to start to compile the information, that it,
it wasn't readily available, so we realized that we need to, number one, get all the information, get it into an easy-to-understand form, and then possibly even break this down into maybe more focused areas as we go through this, kind of the higher impact zones where it might make sense, we focus on that. But still a program that we think would make sense to look at and explore. We do the business retention expansion visits every year. 30's kind of been the mark for in-person visits, and then the EDA-hosted events that we do annually. We did add in the selling and redeveloping of rental properties. These are those properties owned along Highway 10 that, as we finalize the right-of-way layout, what is MnDOT going to keep, what's the county going to keep, what does the city keep, well, what land is left over that we can turn around and sell for private ownership again. We think that that's going to start kicking off pretty quick. The turn back part of it with the right-of-way is a key component to it, so we want to stay on top of that. Creating a positive image for residential neighborhoods, business districts, and key corridors. We updated that to recognize the policy that was recently adopted, so just kind of recognizing that we're going to kick that off and work through it. And then we did add in there the kind of home improvement incentive program or front door program, what some cities are calling it, just since we're already underway on that. It's not official, but well, we're close to getting that finalized, and we'll start advertising that. Updated rehabilitate historic town hall objective. And then we added in objective 4. We used to do an Earth Day cleanup. So that kind of went to the wayside through COVID, I believe, and a little bit of, you know, staff interest. But recently we've heard some staff ask about it, so we felt like we want to bring that back. What that used to be is there was like a 2-hour window that staff could sign up for. Really, the focus was cleaning up the core when it was a lot more vacant, but we thought maybe we could switch that up and go focus on some parks and trail corridors.
Utilizing city staff,
yep.
You're saying?
Yep. So to be, you know, on Earth Day, we would have a block of a number of different windows. You know, if it's this park, we think maybe five people sign up for a 2-hour block, go clean up garbage for a little bit, part of their day.
Did we contemplate volunteers at all, or coordinating volunteers or something?
We are always asking for volunteers. I know when we get groups that reach out, we try to coordinate some park cleanups.
We'll be planting with volunteers on April 27th at Alpine Park with that Boulevard tree planting grant we got from Metropolitan Council. And then Abby also has, I think, 2 cleanup days with volunteers scheduled for parks. We did that last year as well.
Great. All right.
Question? You were looking rather intensely.
Sorry.
Strategy 5, no changes to it. That's an ongoing one. You know, when we have street projects, it makes sense to look at the street lighting and pedestrian facility needs. Strategy 6, connecting the community through parks, trails, and recreational corridor programming. This was largely objective 1, just updated for Waterfront Park is under construction, so really the last step is just to monitor the construction project and prevent delays, and target opening is still July 1st, 2026. Objective 2, looking for... Is there something else council had in mind? The last work session, we brought forward a proposal to do some community outreach for the rest of the Waterfront Park Phase 2. That contract was not supported at the work session, so I guess staff would like to spend a little bit of time to kind of talk about what does that Phase 2 look like over the next year? When do we put more focus into it? Give us some direction so we know what to do with that.
Fair question. Anybody want to go first? what are we having as ideas? What do we want to do to move forward or not forward? Mayor Heineman?
Usually I go last, but since I'm online, I'll leave this off. Nobody wants to talk. I'm not a huge fan of the idea of indoor playground slash center. What is it? That's what we're looking for. Recreation center. I think it's going to be very hard for that to for the ROI for that to pay off. I know it's something that residents have asked for, but I don't know if it's all residents, and I know spending a lot of money for something that may not be return on investment for a while may not be the best thing. So phase two for me looks a little bit different. I have had it on the schedule of future topics to discuss if anybody wants to talk about it. But I guess if I were to vocalize what I would like to see there, it'd be less of a community center. It'd be more of a outdoor eating place with permanent food trucks, essentially, and more of like a place to hang out, an outdoor recreation center with outdoor seating, a little place for a little bandstand kind of thing, and really continue to build up the core with spots that we can rent out and make money very quickly. So I know there's community center ambitions. I just think when we look at the costs and the return on investment on that, we're miles away. Increasing tax dollar, the increase in taxes is always a contentious issue, so spending $22 million or something on an indoor playground seems unwise to me.
Respect.
I guess my thought would be, maybe 5 to 7 years of successful water park usage and it really has been a hit, then we could maybe discuss what's next or what, for a community building or something like that. People are still asking for it or wanting it, but it'd be something, much further down the road.
Someday, not today.
Well, I'd be okay with scrapping it all together, but that'd be the earliest I want to see that, this water park really has been a hit. Everyone's come to it. It's been great. I think it's going to be. I really do. It's going to be awesome. But let's make sure that this one big investment now has turned out well, and then we can talk about future ones. But again, like Ryan said, if there's another use of the land or if some other project wants to go there that would fit perfectly, I don't think we necessarily need to hold that land either.
Ms. Stewart?
Yep. Going off of our last meeting's conversation, I think that's where I ended up landing also was we're not going to actively market that property. However, if somebody comes in and wants to put something that generally pleases the council, like a restaurant or something like that, I would be more interested in that idea than a indoor park for children. So,
Ms. Buescher?
I don't see how waiting would make a difference. I don't see how one completely separate thing would impact our desire for a new thing to come in. I don't see that this was intended to become a return on investment financially, but more for the purpose of enjoyment. I think that return on investment doesn't need to look at just dollars. It needs to look at like worth of why I'm here and what's close by and what my family can enjoy. I think a community center makes sense. I've heard from many people that a community center would be something that they'd like to see. I think adding space in our community for folks to gather is good. I don't personally want to see an indoor place per se. I don't want it to be like a McDonald's play place. I would like to see something similar to what Andover has. But I think that could be fueled by other funding, not just taxpayer dollars. We're good at getting grants is what I just heard, right? So sounds like that could be done. But you all know my thoughts. Eric's not here. We all know Eric's thoughts. If he was here, he'd be saying the same thing. So
I was going to point that out as well.
Yeah.
I everybody would want everything if we had the money. I don't know how we could ever afford it. I don't know where we would ever get the money. I would be interested in selling bonds for it. In talking ROI, it would never have an ROI, so I wouldn't expect that, but I just don't know that we would ever get to afford it. I guess I would be more in the someday, but not today. For sure not today.
Someone else's problem. Someone else can raise the taxes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to speak and say we're saying take this off. It sounds like.
Ryan has something.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Heidemann.
And this may be out of left field again, but one thing that when I was working with former Mayor Kuzma and Councilmember Riley on this idea, one thing that I thought would be a big hit as well is a zero entry beach. I know we have that area cordoned off right now for the little launch and where the water goes into. At some point, it would be nice to entertain segregating part of that pond and having some fresh water going into there as well. I know the splash pad is great. There are other people that love to go to the beach and, you know, wade into the water a little bit. So I don't know if we can ever partition off a little part of the pond and kind of do something there. When I talk about ROI, I understand that there's a lot of different ways to have ROI, but in the example I did back, 5 years ago, whatever it was, I took the Blaine Water Commons area right off Main Street, off 114, and they do actually make money charging out-of-city residents to come in and use that space with parking passes. It's free to the residents, and it actually has been an asset versus a liability, so sometimes we lose money because we want to create a customer experience for our residents. I get that. But to not even consider how we can change the impact on the tax base by doing it in a smart manner, I don't think that's the other option either. So I think we can probably have a little bit of the best of both worlds.
So what would you, are you envisioning something staying on the strategic plan?
No, like I said, this is a little off. I mean, technically, we could say phase two could have some sort of beach in it or whatever. But as Dan said and Shanna said, I think maybe we wait a little bit, make sure it's utilized to its full extent, and recruit it in that manner. So, like I said, it was a little bit more of a fly. Maybe once we add a beach to the strategic plan, that'd be great. But for now, I think we can wait.
Would we want to suggest 3 years, 5 years, 7 years? I mean, do we have a thought if we're saying later?
I don't think it's for us to tell another council what to do.
Bots?
I was going to say, if this is something that, if the land is still there and two people haven't from council come up and said, hey, we want to talk about this, I think staff should be like maybe bringing it back up in 5 years or 7, but not tomorrow or next month kind of thing, but not forget 100%. Like if it's not utilized and the following round or whatever of council people come in, then have at whatever they're doing.
Mayor?
I think we have it back on there, again, for another 3 to 5 years. I understand it's another council's decision, but we don't not plan ahead because of other councils. It's a strategic plan. We have strategic plans going 10, 20 years out. I think
this is an annual one, right?
Even if it's something that will fall on a possible other council, however, some of you may be on that council at that time, I don't think we avoid putting plans in because we may not be there, so I think we say, 3 to 5 years.
So maybe put it on there, revisit in 3 years. Revisit the discussion.
Or just keep it on, it sounds like. Sorry. Yeah.
I guess I'd like to see it off, but
we'll remove it for now.
It'll be, yeah.
Are we going to turn it into a parking lot?
Some days.
We should charge people to park in that parking lot, too.
What are we going to do with that? Yes. Well, funny you should ask.
That's exactly.
All right, moving on. Strategy 7, strengthen, enhance identity, brand, and image. Ramsey zip code. This is the year, if it makes sense, to formally request a zip code again. So a couple years ago, I tried getting the understanding of their metrics, and the guy I was talking to did not want to give any information, so we'll get firmer on our efforts there. But November of 2026 is the when we can formally apply. It's not has to be in November, but that's every 10 years. And then enhancing the city brand, that's an ongoing effort, but you know, kind of the motto and branding guide that got put onto the back burner with the ADA compliance requirements on our website. So our communication staff has been able to work on that. Just the time frame. Strategy 8, you know, we've done some work, but again, communication can always be better, so we'll look for better ways to do it. We do have the part-time communication staff coming on to kind of focus on social media, so that will be an effort here the rest of this year and into next year on, you know, what are we doing from that regard and how can we adjust and be better. Objective 4, citizen survey. This is like the waterfront park phase 2. Council thoughts, those that have been around, those that are newer. Last one we did was in 2024. Prior to that, I think it was 2018 maybe.
Was it 2018, I think?
So in 2024, we did not do one because we felt like we knew what the largest response was going to be, which was roads, and we were just starting to address that. So I guess thoughts, do we want to explore that in 2027?
Is there a better company to use? Is
that we would look at that.
Is that, I mean, that... If that's the only company or that's the best company, then I don't want to discuss it at all.
That's the most commonly used one, but there's other options. From a pricing standpoint, I think they were around $30,000, maybe not quite that much. So I suspect that's probably your rough cost with any other company as well. That influences anything.
Sure.
I think it's too close to 2024 to 2027. I don't think that's enough time to do a new survey and really see changes in a survey. I would be more apt to see it at 5 to 8 years or 10 years between. 10 years is too long. So between that 5 and 8 year, because then we have families actually changing demographics in things versus every 4 years, I don't think there's enough change to get results that we're looking for. Or not results that we're looking for, but information. But it's my thought.
I'm here and wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm good with doing it right now.
Strategy 9, objective 1, just crossed off a couple of those things that we have accomplished. Objective 2, this is kind of coming out through the employee survey results, but looking for, you know, be able to explore and maybe implement some additional volunteer gathering times for staff, all staff, show the appreciation, have question and answer opportunities, you know, scheduled, I guess, more so than just whenever staff wants to talk to management staff, but we would have it advertised as such, so we felt like that would be a good way to do it. We did put a note in the side, you know, maybe one option, we do the food truck Wednesdays through the summertime. This would be for this year. It's not necessarily the budget for, but to look for next year's, maybe we pay for one of the lunches. It'd be
$1,500, maybe $2,000 for the staff that would show up. And we even already, as we can put a little thought into it, we have a ticket, so you have to come and chat with management staff first. I'm not going to force you to come up with a question, but it's at least an opportunity to say hi and thank you.
Can we do that too?
Yeah. Sure.
You mean get the free lunch?
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to talk to Brian. Say hi.
So, just some stuff like that. And then we already do some other, on lunch periods, do like a Halloween potluck, a potluck around Christmas time, things like that. Just kind of expand those. Easy to do. Don't take a lot of resources. That's it for the adjustments to the strategies and objectives moving forward. I did update the 2025 list to recognize some of the bigger accomplishments. It's not all of them. You guys made a lot of decisions over the year, but these are some bigger ones. So, final thoughts.
Stuart.
Good job. I liked it. It works. This was way more fun to do this way than to do it all over those whiteboards, for me personally. So selfishly, I enjoyed doing it this way.
Ms. Blucher.
Go with Ryan. Oh, just kidding. He was just giving the thumbs up. I think it's good. Do we want? I know we didn't really do this like last year, and so maybe it doesn't matter to change it. But do we want to do anything where we're like prioritizing anything? Like something's like a high priority tier, or especially now that we're like putting things in long-term buckets potentially, right? Like we're creating a parking lot. Do we want to do something that's like, this is this year to next year, this is going to take longer, 3 to 5 years, this is going to be another council's problem in the ether, I don't know. Then I know that like this is supposed to be a kind of bigger picture thing, but I'm wondering, some of these things may have like an attachment document to have like measurable outcomes. Like if we're saying that we're going to do something, what is it, how do we know it's like good enough? You know, like if we want more outreach to our community members, what is more outreach look like? Are we aiming for a number? If we're doing like more socials, are we aiming for a followers or, you know, people responding, you know? If we're saying infrastructure is being managed, like what is the measurable outcome for infrastructure to say it's like, this is when we decided like it's no longer good. Maybe like I said, that's a different document. That's, this is high level. That's you guys. And I imagine that you guys know what that outcome looks like. What you justify as like good, for metrics. I think we talked a little bit about, you know, things changing, and I don't know if we wanted to put anything in there about our demographics are changing and our communities evolving, and so we want to make sure that if we're not going to do a survey, like how are we making sure that we're following those demographic changes and shifts to ensure that everyone's getting the same access to our resources or services that our city offers. And I think maybe, you know, for our like environmental piece, I like that we're doing the potential space where we're going to be able to bring compost and things like that, and just making sure that we're trying to be more environmentally like friendly or environmental stewardship in our planning. And long-term sustainability for some of that environmental piece or pieces. And I think the last thing I thought about that I would like to see more of maybe is like just talking about how we're like strengthening our partnerships with other governmental entities. You know, and I know that you guys do a good job of that already, and I mentioned that at the last council meeting, that I think Brian's doing a really good job of connecting with our legislators and other folks that, you know, we don't have to then pay for bigger projects if we partner with them, or, you know, if we're able to do grant opportunities. But, you know, are there things that our county is offering for services that we don't have to deliver anymore if they're providing that, or we can utilize that? And I know that Chris Chris does a good job of doing that kind of stuff too, and you know, tapping into the county for, especially with like the environmental piece. And so I think we're doing a good job, but just would love to like see that reflected in maybe our strategic plan. Sorry.
Do you have a suggestion on how to reflect it? Is it under the working wall, not where, like that section, or actual objectives?
I guess I don't know. I don't want to say that like something's working well if I don't know exactly what you're doing, but I do think not like just you guys are doing a good job, right? And I don't know where you're at on how often you communicate with other governmental entities to be able to say, I want you to do X more for metrics, right? So like if you guys I just want to know that like we're doing that and we're trying to keep continuing to build those relationships and trying to find avenues that like I said, we can provide services to our community members that maybe we don't have to be like the creation of the wheel for it or the funding source for it. So I guess however you guys feel like that's reflected, or if you don't feel like it makes sense at all, don't do it. That's totally cool. I just thinking about it. You look like you're fine, so that's fine. Ignore me. It's fine.
I'm not ignoring
you. No, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying I don't want to make it worse than it needs to be.
I think if you listen to every other word, it'll make some more sense.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. Well, I guess on that, would we be interested in having a combined meeting with either like Anoka or Elk River or a like city council or something like that? It has been done in the past with like Anoka. We've done it every couple of years, and we haven't done it for a very long time. Do we think there'd be any interest, or you know, is there a good reason to do that?
Cool.
Story.
Yeah, what's the objective?
In the past, staff came up with shared strategies, shared problems, and we kind of just discussed it.
Going off of that, then, that would be something I'd probably be interested in knowing if we got different councils on that. But not for a nothing meeting. Like, if this is just something that everybody got together in a room, we chatted about our problems, and we all walk home and wasted everybody's time, that's not... there's something that we think there's a solution for, or could be, then I'd be interested.
In about a month, we'll know if there's a meeting need for a river crossing. That could be one topic. Okay. It'd be dependent on if we get the money from the state this legislative session, but...
About every 3 weeks, we have a topic we can talk to Elk River about.
Oh, that's not worth a meeting for everybody.
I know, but if we're already having a meeting.
I was thinking we could do it like Honolulu or something. Like
that would be a good idea.
I think it'd be nice after the session to have
our sister city
our legislators come.
There we go. It's China, right?
I think, yeah, it's China.
I'm really neutral. I see him enough in PCTV on.
From Elk River.
That's true.
And you don't talk about the world's problems with them.
Oh, we solve the world's problems.
Then why are we still here?
You don't need to be, actually, if you want us to. No, I'm kidding. Awesome.
All right, Mayor, do you want to chime in? I'm hearing waffling. No?
Yeah, I don't. If we have something to meet about, like, river, or we want to do a joint legislative update meeting with our, you know, mutual... is there a senator? Is Carl Barr, is he in the Anoka too? No, I don't know if we have shared mutual senators in there.
Carl Barr, not Carl.
So, I don't know, if it makes sense, county commissioner maybe, there's a reason why we're coming together. But
your request to learn from Ryan.
People are going to just talk about themselves for a while and then we'll both leave.
All right, if there's a reason ever, I guess keep that in mind. Otherwise, we don't need to do it. Are we feeling pretty good with what we've done and discussed? And
I'm good.
Anything else that we missed and you guys want to add?
No.
Get rid of the zip code thing.
We're going to put that one to the top.
Priority number one.
We need to create a cracks commission on that one.
Might have to be with Anoka since they cover us now. And if anyone wants to be with us, I'll meet with them. I don't care, but don't they really have anything?
All right. Well, I feel like we're done talking about strategic plan. Okay. Going once, going twice. You got what you needed?
Yep. I feel very strategic.
Yes, very nicely done.
All right. And that went better than I thought, just for everybody who was wondering.
That was better than
that? Don't leave us.
It's like, no, I'm done.
Bye. Bye.
We don't hear about compensation. Riley wants all right. Raise.
Discuss council member compensation.
I will briefly kick it off. This was last briefly discussed in February 2022. At that time, found, generally speaking, the Ramsey mayor salary was $8,000. It still is $8,000, but the average of other mayors in the area was $10,338. And for council, it was almost $8,000 for the average pay, where Ramsey's at $6,000. As you can see, Councilmember Busher and Riley requested this, so I will turn it over to you two.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll start.
I would love you to.
Historically, this has been talked about several times. I have always been a hard no, didn't want to discuss it, didn't need to be discussed. But the fact that, I forget here, what, 2005, is that what it is? So what in the world hasn't gone up in cost since 2005? And at this point, although it may only be $1,000, has been quoted before, it's, you know, a 25 or 35% difference, and I think right now would be a good time to discuss it and talk about it. And then, you know, as it says in here, none of this would take place now until after an election goes on, and if everybody hates it, they could boot everybody out. So I'm for us having this discussion, and I'm acknowledging the fact that I'm changing my mind on that. That always before I'd been a hard no.
I think we're as valuable as Brian, so we should make some machetas.
Well, the other, we could bring him down.
He might probably leave then, but that's... Yeah, Minneapolis makes, what, like 150 apiece? Why not, I guess?
And I guess, absent anything else, I would just suggest that, you know, bumping to at least this average, you know, I think makes sense. I do have an example, somebody was very interested and I think would have been a good council member, and in their lives they were going to have to miss work to do this, and it was a monetary decision that they couldn't run for city council. And although we always say you don't want to run for city council to make money, because obviously we're not making money doing this if you're working out, but it also shouldn't be a financial crippling decision to run for city council. Mr. Speck.
Thank you, Mr. McNamara. And I guess I kind of mean, you know, think of it maybe as like the boards and the other recruitment, where I think if we were struggling to find people and no one would run, and everyone was unopposed and we had to appoint people, and we'd say, well, what can we do to attract more people? Because we want people to run, we want people to, you know, be involved. But it seems like, I mean, not always, but I mean, most of the time there's people that run, and it doesn't seem like there's been a shortage of people interested. So I personally don't think we need to make the change.
Anyone else? She's back.
I would say, you know, one great thing to get people to come back and bring back the food that I voted to remove. You know, I think that'd be a great, you know, versus a great step as opposed to getting a raise, just bring back the food.
Mayor Heineman?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't really care either way, which is not the greatest answer. I didn't run for the money yet. Anybody who pays attention knows it's equal to very little anyway. I would be against it traditionally, just because, I don't know, I feel like I don't want Congress giving themselves a pay raise. I don't know if we should give ourselves one. Also, at the same time, it's a very small amount of money in the grand scheme of things, and we are vastly underpaid compared to our counterpart. So I guess I don't really know how I feel on it right now, but I could make a decision. I'm not sure if this is one that we should wait, though, and try to bring back when Eric and Michael are there. I feel like it would be, I don't know, if we don't have the full council to give their opinion on this one, it's a bummer that they can't be here and that I had to be remote, but yeah, I don't know if this is one we can sneak on to an agenda when everybody's there, but I think everybody should have a say before we give direction, since it directly impacts us and the future candidates.
I think that's a good point. Anybody have a problem if we...
I don't have a problem with it.
Sorry.
It wouldn't take much time. Do you want staff to update the average? And
Yeah, maybe do that, and then we'll discuss it when we have a full council.
Okay.
How much pizza would be for every...
Can you put on there all of like the neighboring cities, their compensation, and then if they get a health insurance payout, and the cities that are equivalent closely to our population size and development, and any other compensation packages that the other cities around us get? Because I know Fridley gets a health insurance payout.
I think we did look at that last time.
We did get lab apps too.
$800 every 4 years.
Yeah, it does say a few cities also provide paid health insurance. We can help.
Both Chris and I are broke here, though. And broke 13.
What?
Same spot. Okay,
that's cool. I saved my... I didn't buy a laptop with the city money so I could get a raise. So I saved money there, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. We anything for you. Our constituents.
All right, so we bring that back for hopefully a short discussion.
Maybe like our sister city in China, what do they get paid? Get some more.
All right.
Maybe you can give us the percentage of how much of the budget it would take if you gave us a raise.
0.01.
Just ask AI, dude. Chat should be able to do this. No, seriously. What are the payments for? It'll dump it all together in like 5 minutes.
It's not going to take that long to put the info together.
In all seriousness, I'll do it for fun just later. I bet
Colleen has already done a fair amount of it, right? So we're not asking for a lot. I guess
it'll be an email to 10 cities, and we'll have the info back within 2 days. Dump it into a spreadsheet.
Maybe chatbot and a plot actually do the emailing for you.
Jeez.
We don't have that function with our emails and stuff. That's the technology piece.
I know. I think AI, we could do a lot of it.
All right. So I think we'll talk about that again later.
Yeah.
Moving on to the required audio recordings of public meetings.
Yeah. It's noted this one kind of came about. We've had interviews recently. A couple questions came out of it. Customer Busher and Stewart requested the discussion. Ultimately, state statute, our code, our charter does not require the meetings to be audio recorded. It's more been a practice. So if we wanted to change that practice and choose what meetings to have the audio recording and or the online attendance options and versus some other styles of meetings, I think we should have a policy just to help answer that question if we ever get asked, you know, hey, can I have the audio recording to this meeting? And we say, well, no, we don't have it. Well, why? Here's why.
Can you clarify what does state law versus our ordinance? Can you clarify some of that?
So state law just doesn't require it. There is
doesn't require what
the meetings to be recorded.
Any meetings,
right? What is required?
No recording.
Yeah, if we do audio record, so like this meeting, we do have to hold on to the recording until the minutes are approved. That's really the only requirement we have. So it's optional to record, but if you choose to, then there's a 2 week period where you need to hang on to it. We hang on to them longer. They're available online to the public and everything. Both our work session audio minutes. We don't always, so like in the case of interviews, we don't post those to the public facing side. If someone asks for them, it is public data that we have, so we have to release it, but try to be a little bit strategic on what we're putting out there. Interviews can be sensitive information shared, obviously. And then the video recordings and whatnot for the regular meetings, those are on QCTV's website for, I can't remember how far back they go. They just got a new website, so I think they switched up how long they held them on, but at one point it was like the past 7 years or something crazy like that. So,
Mayor Heidemann?
If we don't record the audio, people can still come in person, correct?
Correct. Any meeting with a quorum that has to be open to the public, we would advertise it as such. You know, the interview is scheduled for next Monday afternoon. There's a quorum of council present, so if someone wants to show up and hang out in a staff interview, they have every right to do so. That's a great example of something where maybe we don't want to record it. You can speak a little bit more freely. And then same with like boards and commission interviews, that would be a kind of comparable meeting example. No decisions are being made at those meetings. The official decision does come back to you guys at a regular meeting. So.
And so Mayor, you're saying we don't have to record those meetings? Is that what the thumbs up is?
Well, yeah, I'm really just, well, I guess if it's open to the public, but we don't have to record them. Now, Brian, they'll still be streamed, or they'll still make it to QCTV, or there would be no recording.
The only meetings that QCTV comes to are the business part of the council meetings, and then all of our boards and commission meetings.
Yeah, I don't want to keep things private, and I don't want have the illusion that we're being secretive, but I think in cases like interviews where we may evaluate a candidate that becomes public, you know, that could even, maybe they have a bad day and we don't like them and prospective employers look at, I don't know. I just want to be cognizant. It's less about not being transparent with the residents and more about there might be sensitive stuff we need to talk about that could affect somebody looking for employment. And it would be nice to say, if you're really concerned, you can come to those, but you know, it's not PII necessarily because it's a public event, but not throwing up how well people do on interviews on the city page, I think might be good for those individuals. So if we do have the ability to use discretion in our particular, I can articulate why we're not doing it for that period of time, I think it would be wise to have that option.
Ms. Stewart, your case?
Yep. So that was pretty much the sum of what the mayor said. We're not talking about these work sessions or our regular session. However, interviews and then the post-interview, that was what was very confusing when we did that last interview. Technically, our conversation was recorded. Therefore, they could have called back and said, hey, I want everything. They would have known why we didn't want Sir whomever we just interviewed. So that's not okay, and that's what I would like to see removed, is those recordings in the future for all interviews.
And
I love your eyes. That just went when we just talked about that.
I didn't realize that you guys recorded that.
Yeah.
You should not be doing that. from a safety perspective, a data perspective, now you're creating data that there is a lot of gray around. Is it confidential? Is it private data that you just created on an individual? Is it public data? There's no questions to be answered if you haven't created the data.
So you're giving us an opinion on what we're discussing right now?
Legal advice, I would say.
I would say I'm giving, yes, I would call it legal advice, and the legal advice is if you're looking for a legal recommendation, it would be do not record your interviews. Everything else is 1,000% a policy decision in terms of transparency, those types of things that are for the council. But from a legal perspective, definitely create some vulnerabilities for yourself if you are recording your interviews and the subsequent post-interview conversation.
Okay, we have a strong opinion there and a recommendation. Are we all good with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. No, totally.
Is it safe to say, since it's a legal opinion, we don't need a policy if it just applies to interviews?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can, policies can be written or they can be informal. And so at a minimum right now, what I'm seeing are nods that says this is the new informal policy. And the reason for it is the legal recommendation by your city attorney. You can certainly formalize it, but I'm also happy to issue an opinion. And I would tell you that most of your candidates are probably not expecting to be recorded when they're coming in.
Right.
So it's very possible that some people will say they won't even come in for an interview that's being recorded.
Okay, so we're going to remove the interviews.
Do we feel like we need a formal policy, or can we just...
No.
We'll make up.
Just make some
law. Maybe legal opinion to the HR files.
Everything being formal policy good. Left the room.
Okay.
A year and 4 months ago. Is that what you need?
I miss Michael. So, yeah. He's out of important.
I think we're good. And we won't do the online attendance. If there's a council member online, then we have to do it, but we won't allow public to join online either.
That would be good.
For interviews?
Yeah.
For interviews.
I mean, if they want to show up in person.
So they want to be, or if they want to hear, then they have to show up in person. And we're okay with accessibility and whatever with that.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay.
That would include all interviews. So, like, even when we do interviews for future planning or EDA and all that stuff. Okay.
Yep.
Just making sure it's all.
All right.
Okay. Future topics calendar, future topics list.
I don't know that it's not quite accurate. We do have stuff for the upcoming meetings. We won't be sitting around just looking at each other, I promise you that.
Okay. So we'll move on. And then council requests. We just have the one that stays there, I guess.
Yeah, forever.
Update on outside commissions. We've got a few minutes. We don't have all of the members present. Should we go through that?
Sure.
All right, well, we'll just go down the list. Anoka County Fire Protection Council.
I think I reported on that previously. I have a report on JLEC that we didn't get to, but I did report on the Fire Protection Council previously for JLEC. The budget came in 10% under budget. All dues were collected. They're going ahead with on schedule and on budget for their Tyler implementation, so their public safety data systems. So that'll impact all the police departments. It was kind of like heavy conversation. Well, I don't want to say heavy, but that was during the ICE time frame that we last had a meeting. So they did talk about the ongoing coordination across the county with the ICE-related activity, and talked about when to call 911 versus not, and like appropriate response expectations, as well as requests from other agencies for backup. They are having to do some radio encryption updating for their radios due to some new federal standards, and their target is quarter one of 2028. They're still waiting on doing some critical infrastructure work with in the legislative session for some metro fencing that's kind of came up after some of the larger scale unrest that's happened. For Fire Protection Council, there is a new chair, Chief Jones, and there's an auto theft task force grant that was renewed through 2027 that all the cities can tap into. The jail project is still stalled due to litigation and permitting issues. The county and the city are currently in litigation about some issues with that. For emergency communications, they talked about that 96% of calls are answered within 10 seconds, and that their staffing retention is improving, and that they're transitioning to kind of like some new technology around being able to share information out to citizens. There is also a new fraud unit established in economic assistance think that's about it.
All right, thank you. So that was the first two. Yeah. And did, was that Fire Relief Association or?
Fire Relief, I think Ryan is on.
Yeah, that takes place periodically. The last one was on a Sunday late afternoon. I couldn't attend it for church services. There was nothing of import that came out in that one for my conversation. That's periodic and business as usual. So I think we're good on that one.
All right. Lower Rum River is me. You know, we meet monthly. Mostly just talk about, you know, permits and the different things that are being built and whatever. You know, between Ramsey and Andover, we're all of the permits. Anoka hardly ever has anything. Change that we've made kind of recently is making sure that we are collecting enough money up front in escrow to cover fees, because we don't want to be in a position of trying to track people down after we've given them their permits. We discussed if we're allowed to take the permits back. So some of the things like that, just trying to make them a little more streamlined and you know, friendly. And we'd also made a kind of a new rule. They'd gotten pretty lax about giving people, developers, special meetings kind of any time that they suggested they wanted a special meeting. And we meet every month as it is, so they're, unless we kind of created some harder criteria, unless it met one of those, we weren't going to have special meetings that, you know, push them either this month or next week. But yeah, I think that's really about it. So North Metro Mayors Association.
I'll talk a little bit about this one, and then Brian attends that as well. But our next meeting is May 21st. Nothing too big to report here. We obviously have our lobbying efforts that continue. And Brian, you're on the committee there, correct?
Yep. Yeah, I would agree.
You did a more recent meeting.
The last couple months have really been focused on the legislative session. Obviously, the organization has a lobbyist that, you know, we set up legislative priority list through the North Metro Mayors. He's down at the Capitol daily advocating for those. And then, again, I note a benefit to being a member of this group is even if you have asked into the legislator and they're not on the list, he's so ingrained in what's going on that he keeps all the cities informed on their kind of one-off items. So it's really fun having an extra set of ears down there.
Yeah, there, and the other thing we talked about quite a bit, the most recent one was around the ICE time frame, so there's a lot of conversations about that. And then I think I reported the last time that the group homes in different areas are continuing to be an issue, so they're continually to work towards resolutions towards that. That sounds like that's something that comes from the state, and it's going to be a very difficult fight. Something that we haven't experienced too much of, but I think it's just a concern to all cities, not being against group homes necessarily, but losing the ability to have influence on where they go and how they operate. So that's taking up a lot of bandwidth of the mayors.
All right, Twin Cities Gateway Board. Who is that? Do we know?
That's right.
Oh, it's you again?
Yeah. Same on that. They continue to do a good job. Ramsey's hotels are now paying in at the regular rate. I think the first year we had a little bit of a buffer to catch up. So we've contributed quite a bit. Once again, it comes from the elective tax that the hotels chose to enforce. Does a great job promoting our city, and we continue to see strong growth from the local, or for a bit local business from outside of the area. I think the last report came in that Duluth was one of the largest investors into the metro, the North Metro, as well as Rochester, a lot of that coming from sporting events and conferences. But they continue to promote Ramsey Hotels and activities and things of that nature, and having a strong showing there. It's been good. Doing a lot to promote Ramsey.
All right. Quad Cities Cable.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian
I don't remember when we talked last, but you know, we're looking for a new executive director. We're paying Ramsey to help with that search, and we're working hard on it.
All right. So what we got? We got 10 minutes, so let's adjourn here and start our council meeting on time.
Brian, I just hang on this link, right? Same link?
Yep, it'll stay live.